Welcome to
the most epic Holly Jolly
Christmas Showdown.
I'm Amanda Figueroa.
And I'm Adriana York, formerly Figueroa.
And we are two sisters who love Christmas and competition. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
All right. Our last category.
Oh my gosh. I never thought we'd see the day, but I'm really excited for playoffs.
I mean, this is our 17th episode. It's crazy when you think about it.
We've watched 17 movies and critiqued them.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh.
Yeah. So wild. Bittersweet. This is where I feel the bittersweet moment, because I was like, this has just been, you know, nice to go through the movies, and then it's game time.
It's going to be savage.
Yeah.
We were literally just talking, like, sometimes we want to give scores that are like, you know, 4.25 or like 3.75 or something. And I was like, yeah. I think we're going to have to pull that out for playoffs.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because I have a feeling they're going to be pretty quite close scores.
I think so. At least once we get down to like that like final four especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be so different, but exciting. Okay, anywho.
But before we get into this episode, our weekly Christmas cheer. All right. Should I start it off?
No. I actually really like yours, so you go last.
Okay.
So my weekly Christmas cheer is I was texting a friend, and she was like, I just like woke up in a bad mood today. But honestly, I put on my Christmas playlist, and I've been listening to it for 2 hours, mm-hmm. and now I'm in a much better mood. And yeah. I was like, of course, because Christmas does that to you. Yeah. It's amazing. It's always a mood lifter.
It is. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mine was very interesting. So I was in the climbing gym. I don't know why so many of my weekly Christmas cheers are in the climbing gym. And I was just sitting around. And usually what happens is like you're just sitting there looking at a project and you just get to talking to people while you're resting. And so I was talking to this one girl and we were chit-chatting for a bit. She goes, I didn't introduce myself. My name is Christmas. And I, at first, I thought she said Kristen. And I was like, can you just remind me of your name? And she goes, Christmas. And I was like, as in the holiday? And she goes, yes. And I was like, oh, that's a amazing. Cool name.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the level of Christmas passion that I want to have.
Yeah.
That I name my child Christmas.
Yeah. So I was like, wow. You gotta love Christmas, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. I want to know the backstory. So next time you see her, ask her. Anywho, so before we dive into the podcast, just a recap of what our episodes look like. Mm-hmm. So we are going to give a fairly detailed summary of the movie. Today we're looking at Time for Him to Come Home for Christmas. Mm-hmm. You can watch it on, where are all the places that they could watch it again?
So Fubo TV, I think, has it, Sling TV, and this other subscription called Philo.
Yeah. And then, of course, if you have, like, a TV subscription that has Hallmark Channel, you can watch it on HallmarkChannel.com or Hallmark Movies Now.
Hallmark Movies Now.
That also requires, a subscription, a separate subscription. But if you have
cable.
Yeah, HallmarkChannel.com.
Or just Hallmark start Channel. Looking right now. I mean, Hallmark, those Christmas movies are out right now. They've been out for like about a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it. I think you can Google it and see like when it'll air on TV.
Yeah.
So.
I can tell you right now. I think I have it up. Saturday, November 4th, it airs at 1 p.m. on Hallmark Movie Channel. And Thursday, November 9th at 1 a.m. So if you want to stay up to 1 a.m. or just record it.
Listen, I am all down for a 24-hour Christmas movie marathon.
I am down for it too.
So if you're that kind of person, do it.
Yeah.
1 a.m. on whatever day that was.
November 9th.
Yeah. So anyways, if you want to watch the movie and you don't want any spoilers, take a pause here, go to any of those platforms and watch the movie. But if you kind of want a rundown of what this movie is going to look like before you watch it, then stay tuned. We're going to give you a summary of it.
Yeah. But for this one, at least for me, I highly encourage watching it before listening to the episode, because there are just like these twists and turns that, at least the first time that I watched it, I had a suspicion, but like different things happened that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, me too.
Yeah.
It was a good one. And then also always a reminder, like we always, I wouldn't say always love these movies. We typically love these movies.
Uh-huh.
And then when it comes to scoring, we're a little bit critical because that's our job. We have to be critical. It's a competition here, okay?
Yeah.
There has to be a winner and a loser.
We love them all, but, you know, they all can't win a prize.
Yeah.
That's not how it works here.
So we did enjoy this movie, and I have no idea what your scores look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an idea of what my scores look like.
I hope so.
But always remember that, like, we are going to love the movies and we're going to be critical in scoring. So don't, like, determine whether or not you're going to watch the movie based off of our scores. Go watch it.
Yeah, just hear the summary if you're, like, that kind of person and be like, oh, that seems interesting. Let me go watch it anyway.
Yeah. But speaking of which, so after our summary, we will score the movie and we have five different categories in which we score our movies, and those are plot, main character, aesthetic, overall Christmas cheer, and supporting characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end we will finish off with a cringe factor. So that's it. That's how our episodes go. That was a lot more ramble
yeah
than we normally do, but let's get into it.
Yeah.
So Time for Him to Come Home for Christmas is a 2022 Hallmark Movies and Mysteries original starring Holland Rhodes, Tennille Towns, and Tyler Hines.
And I would like to plug in, I think one of the producers is Blake Shelton.
You know, I think I saw that when I was Googling it.
Yeah.
They were like, did Blake Shelton write Time for Him to Come Home for Christmas?
It kind of makes sense once you put it into that perspective why it's the way it is.
No, legitimately, it does.
Yeah.
I love Blake. Blakey Blake.
Yeah.
My boy. So we start off with one of our main characters, Elizabeth, at a Christmas gala, who gets rescued by this man named Josh. Josh happens to be one of her besties, and he knows that she doesn't necessarily love to be at these events with her mom. So he whisks her away over to his own mom's Christmas party, where she's surprised with her friend Andrew and the promise of Josh's mom's Christmas cookies.
Gingerbread cookies, to be specific, with the frosted bow ties.
Yes, she loves them. She just loves sweets in general.
Yeah.
It's at this party that we learn that both Josh and Elizabeth have gotten jobs at New York Times. While on the porch chit-chatting and hanging out, the three best friends see a shooting star and decide to partake in one of their Christmas traditions, which is wishing on a shooting star. And we learned that Elizabeth, she wished for just that moment right there that they were having, all of them together. They all take a selfie, and then all of a sudden, we are transported 3 years down the road. We see that Elizabeth is actually working for her mom, and while in the office talking to her mom, she receives a phone call that she unfortunately misses because her mom is like, you need to get out and date, like, while she's at work for her mom. And so after this missed phone call, she gets a voicemail from a mystery man looking for a Madeline who is trying to get in touch with her, see if they can meet up on Christmas Eve and get together and hang out. After hearing the voicemail, Elizabeth decides to call back, and she realizes that she received a call from a guest from the Guildcrest Hotel, which is their local hotel in the city. So, after calling back and realizing that, you know, she can't just call the phone number back because it's a hotel room, she decides to go up to the hotel herself, and wants to just relay the message to the man. At the Guildcrest Hotel, she learns that she's kind of out of luck. There are 1,500 rooms in the hotel, mm-hmm. and they are all booked out. And the front desk man is honestly no help at all. While she's there, she runs into a familiar face, Josh. And all of a sudden, you know, the happiness and the love that they shared as best friends 3 years prior is completely gone. And mm-hmm. there is nothing but awkwardness, unhappy tension between the two of them. After running into Josh, Elizabeth heads out on her way. And Josh finds the note that she left for the front desk clerk, who just threw the note away. Mm-hmm. And Josh decides to run out into the street, find Elizabeth, and just share with her that he threw this away completely.
Yes.
While going out to find Elizabeth, Josh reads the note and realizes why Elizabeth was trying to get in touch with the mystery caller. Mm-hmm. And he asks her, what is she going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And basically urges her to go on with this mission of finding this mystery man. Josh then goes to his mom's house and reunites with his mom and his sister, while Elizabeth is back at her own house listening to the voicemail again and decides to look up Sweet Eats, which is a candy shop, mm-hmm. like a chocolate shop mentioned in the voicemail. While looking up Sweet Eats, Elizabeth gets a reminder on her phone for Andrew's memorial. And we had gotten some hints before that he had passed, but this mm-hmm. was just confirmation that, you know, he was no longer with them. So at the memorial, she shows up, she lights a candle for him, and she leaves, you know, a little trinket in memory of him. Mm-hmm. And then after this, we are sent on a flashback to the Christmas party, where Elizabeth goes up to Andrew, and she's talking to him, and she wants to talk about her future and their future and talk about us. Very mysterious, and yeah. then they have to go on with, like, a Christmas party. Back at present time, we see Josh at his mom's house, and he is talking about buying a house and planting roots in Michigan, which his mom is obviously not happy about yeah. at all. And also, I don't even think we mentioned, they're in Seattle. During this time when Josh is at his mom's house, we also have another flashback from when Josh is at his mom's Christmas party, and his sister is urging him to ask Elizabeth out. She sees that he has feelings for her. He wants it to be more than just friends. And so his sister's like, hey, swap gifts with me. I got some Nutcracker tickets. Go ahead and ask her out on a date. And he obliges. We are then back in present day where Elizabeth...
Just forewarning, there's a lot of flashbacks to this one night.
I know.
So... when we talk about the flashback, we're talking about the same night.
Yes.
Nothing else. The same Christmas party night.
We're just learning more about the party.
And what happened
as the movie
night.
Goes on. Yeah. yeah. And there's a lot of flashback in present day. So
yeah.
stay tuned. Be ready. So present day, Elizabeth, she decides to go visit Sweet Eats when she has no luck in finding the man's credit card info or his name or anything. So instead, she learns that they have a raffle going on, and so she decides to take pictures of all of the raffle entries in hopes that one of those phone numbers is her mystery caller. She then heads to a local coffee shop, and she starts calling every single one of those phone numbers. While at that coffee shop, Josh runs into her, asks her, well, he doesn't even ask her, he just kind of knows exactly what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And he decides to join in and help her make all of the calls. We are then sent to another part of the city where we see our mystery man. And we learn that his name is Carter. Mm-hmm. Carter is visiting his friend Pete. And we learn that his biggest mistake was letting her go. Her as in Madeline, the lady that he is trying to contact.
Yes.
We are back at the coffee shop with Josh and Elizabeth, where we learn that Josh had gotten a job with a publishing company in Michigan. And Elizabeth, you know, she's working with her mom. And so Josh assumed that the New York Times resent her offer mm-hmm. To work for them. But actually, he learns, and we learn too, that she had actually declined it and decided to stay around after Andrew's death. We then head back into a flashback, and Josh is feeling super nervous and very awkward, and he runs into Elizabeth and Andrew, and we hear that she is telling Andrew that she wants to be more than just friends. During this time, Josh just sets his Nutcracker tickets down, and he decides to leave the party, and he needs some air and get some space. Back at the coffee shop, all of the numbers were called, and ain't nobody was our Carter.
No.
They were like, surely everybody has to, like, enter in for a raffle.
Yeah.
Not Carter.
Not Carter.
He said, I don't care.
Yeah.
So, since none of the phone numbers worked out, Josh decided to listen to the voicemail himself. And he hears a snow globe in the background. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he decides that his sister is going to be a huge help. So they go to Josh's mom's house to show the sister the voicemail in hopes that she would know the tune of the snow globe.
Yeah, it turns out, I think they mention it, she's like in the orchestra.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was like, how the heck does this chick know
anything? Yeah.
So while listening to the voicemail, Josh's mom recommends going to see the local record shop owner, Slide, who apparently knows all of the songs under the sun.
That's a lot of songs.
Yeah. We then see Josh and Elizabeth decorating cookies, and they share a heartfelt moment between two friends, two potential lovers, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of feelings in the air. After sharing their nice heartfelt moment, Josh and Elizabeth revisit, you know, the mystery man, the mystery caller, and the entire reason that they have basically rekindled any sort of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
We are then sent to, again, another part of the city where a lady who we have to assume is Madeline is looking through a window at Sweet Eats,
mm-hmm.
at some caramel turtles that mean a lot to her. And then we see some random dude coming up behind her, and then there's just like some awkwardness.
Yeah, it seems like Madeline may have been moving on.
Yeah, we learned that quickly.
Yeah.
Josh and Elizabeth then go to visit the record shop, and Slide does not know the song, actually.
He's like, you know how many times people come in here singing off tune about a song? A lot. And do you know how many times they get it right? Every time.
And then he doesn't know it.
Yeah.
Slide, you let us down. We then are brought to Madeline sitting on a bench, and we see, this is a different flashback. We have a flashback,
mm-hmm.
of Madeline and Carter sitting on that same exact bench, in love and happy.
Mm-hmm.
We come back to present time, where Madeline is met with our dude that came up behind her while she was looking in the window. And the guy decides to talk plans with Madeline. And, you know, he's just sharing his feelings for her, how happy he's been and the fun time that he's been having. And asks her to go on vacation and meet his family. Yikes. That's the next step.
It's tough, man.
And Madeline wants nothing to do with it. So we are then brought to Elizabeth. She is doing a Google search on snow globes because somehow she knows that it's a snow globe. Like, at this point, they just know that there's a song in the background of the voicemail. And we, as the audience, knows that it's a snow globe, but they don't know yet. They just know it's a song.
Well, I think they made the assumption that a grown man wouldn't be walking around with a music box.
Yeah, because his sister, Josh's sister, was like, it sounds like it's from a music box.
And they're like, nah, fam. And then she's like, well, it could also be in snow globes. And then that's how we got onto this train.
That's fair. I was like, okay. So Elizabeth is searching for snow globes. Josh gives her a call and they talk research and what they've been finding. She found a song name, but it's not it. They share, again, another heartfelt moment over the phone. And we are sent back into a flashback. This is the flashback of the Christmas party,
mm-hmm.
to Andy and Elizabeth. Elizabeth needs to get back to her mom's Christmas gala, but Josh was mad and he left. Mm-hmm. And he was her ride. So now Andy is taking her back to the Christmas gala. We learn at this flashback that she was talking to Andy about having feelings for Josh. Not Andy, like Josh had assumed.
Yeah.
And so she was asking Andy for advice on how to go about it with Josh because they're bestie pals. So back in present time, Elizabeth's mom comes over. Elizabeth asks her mom if she can identify the song in the voicemail, and she can't because who knows 5 seconds worth of a song?
Yeah.
It's literally 5 seconds in the background of a voicemail while a grown man is talking.
Yeah.
Mom then learns that Elizabeth is on this project with Josh. And she gets excited and scared all at the same time to hear that she's working with Josh because she knows of the heartbreak that Elizabeth had felt just 3 years prior. During this conversation, Mom just also randomly decides to talk about a promotion with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
She's like, listen, you're up. And Elizabeth, she's like, no. Elizabeth then gets a call from Slide, and he found the song. So Elizabeth goes to the record shop where Tennille Towns is there before the shop opens up for an impromptu jam session. Elizabeth then calls Josh with an update, sharing that she found the song and she can figure out where the snow globe came from, like what shop it was sold at. And during this call, we see that Josh is on the elevator with Carter, our mystery caller.
Yeah, that's crazy. I forgot about that part.
And then all of a sudden, all of our stories cross. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
And they do more cross.
Yeah, they do. So Josh and Elizabeth together go to the gift shop that sells the snow globe. They ask the sales associate if there was a man buying a snow globe for a woman named Madeline. And this store associate, she actually does know who they're talking about. Mm-hmm. But he paid cash, and so their like journey is coming to a hard stop yet again. Elizabeth leaves her business card in hopes that he'll go back in and shop. After the visit to the store, Elizabeth and Josh reminisce on good times, and Josh shares that he thought that Elizabeth blamed him for the accident. And we're starting to kind of like get some feelings and get somewhere with the flashbacks. So while they're talking, they have this heartfelt moment. And then Josh sees somebody walking by with a bag that says the Hallidays. And in the voicemail, Carter had said, you know, I think you'll be busy with the holidays. And they assumed that they meant holidays as in Christmas.
Yeah.
But they realized that there's a local market called Hallidays. So they go to the market and their plan is to talk to every single booth to see if a Madeline works there. While they're at the market, they decide to play a game of, what is it? Like ring toss?
Yeah.
So they decide to play a game of ring toss. They have a bet on winner. And we see that Elizabeth intentionally loses the game to allow Josh to force her, basically, to come to his mom's Christmas party.
Yeah.
Like, we see what you're doing, girl.
We know that you want to be with him.
After this game, they continue asking all of the booths if a Madeline works there. And one surprisingly does have a Madeline. Unfortunately, she's off that day, but she will be there the next day. So Josh and Elizabeth plan to show up to the market that next day. While there, Josh's family is also walking around, and they share that they're going to go take pictures with Santa, and they invite Elizabeth in, and so they all go and do so. We then see Pete and Carter talking, and we learn that Carter had ditched everybody, and he just stopped talking to people in his past, and that included Madeline and Pete. And we still have no idea why.
Yeah.
We learned that Carter is seeing a therapist, and he is hopeful that Madeline will come through and their love will rekindle and they will see each other again. Sparks begin to fly between Elizabeth and Josh again. And the next day, while they're coming back to the market, Josh and Elizabeth are talking about Madeline and Carter, but in a way that it seems like they're actually talking about themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I hope so-and-so would give, like, a second chance. Like, oh, I would, you know, blah, 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 blah. Josh shares that he had actually heard the conversation between Elizabeth and Andy that we saw in the flashback, and he shares that that's why he left the party. Without giving away too many details or, like, sharing too much between the two of them, Elizabeth asks how much he heard, and he shared all of it. Elizabeth is heartbroken yet again.
Yeah.
We then see that the market is closing early for that day. There's a winter storm coming in, and Madeline had just left her booth.
Yeah.
Turns out she was just 10 seconds away. And 5 feet away. They start playing the voicemail again, and then we see Madeline. And she is not our Madeline.
She is not our Madeline.
Josh then asks Elizabeth if she still feels the same way that she did during the flashback. She shares that she does, and that's just kind of where they leave it. Josh goes cold, and he's like, well, if I don't see you, Merry Christmas. And Elizabeth just is on her very sad way. We then see Madeline performing on a stage for a concert, and it's Madeline and the Holidays. That's their band name. Mm-hmm. Mid-song, she sees Carter, and then she looks back again, and he's not there. After her song and after her performance, she goes searching for Carter, but then gets stopped by her current boyfriend, who surprised her with peppermint truffles instead of her caramel turtles that she was looking at. We see Madeline and her boyfriend. I don't even know his name.
Doesn't matter.
I don't even think they mention it. They're sitting at one of the tables. Mm-hmm. And Madeline is completely zoned out. And they break up. At that same exact venue, Josh and his sister are out grabbing drinks, where Josh sees a sign for Madeline and the Holidays.
Yeah.
We then see Elizabeth getting ready for her mom's Christmas gala for the year. At the gala, she tells her mom she's not going to take the promotion. And there's just this really sweet moment between Elizabeth and her mom. And her mom shares with her that she has a message at the front desk. Very similar to what happened during our flashback. Mm-hmm. So Elizabeth goes to the front desk, and yet again, there is Josh there to rescue her. Mm-hmm. But instead, he's not taking her to his mom's Christmas party. He's taking her to a music concert where Madeline is performing. Of course, they don't have tickets to the music concert, so they sneak in. And security stops them because they don't have passes, obviously. I don't really know how they even made it past the first guy.
Yeah. They somehow get in there, and then they're like, oh, where are your passes?
Yeah. But have no fear. Tennille Towns comes to their rescue and basically says, give this girl whatever she wants. And she walks away.
She literally was talking as she's walking and then just keeps going.
Yeah, literally. So finally, Elizabeth and Josh find Madeline. So Elizabeth shows the voicemail to Madeline, and Madeline catches on that her name is Elizabeth, and Madeline shares that she actually has a voicemail for Elizabeth. Like, whoa! They both got a voicemail for the other person.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Twist.
And then we learn in the voicemail that it's Carter calling Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth holds on to his name, Carter Bishop. It is now that we learn that Carter was the driver that got Elizabeth and Andy into the accident that killed Andy.
Now, it took us a while to figure out, too. Carter, like, we thought, or at least I thought, was he drunk driving?
Yeah.
But we learned that he hit black ice, essentially, and, like, spun out.
Yeah.
But it was his car that hit the black ice.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything is kind of starting to come together now. Mm-hmm. Madeline looks at Elizabeth and said, "That was you. That accident changed our lives." Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And we learned that Carter just couldn't get over the guilt. Elizabeth at this time realizes that Carter was actually looking for her as well. Like, they were both looking for each other, essentially.
Yeah.
So Josh is there and, you know, he shows his support for Elizabeth and says, like, "I'll be here with you." And Elizabeth decides to show up at the meeting spot
mm-hmm.
to meet with Carter. They show up to the diner and Carter and Elizabeth sit down at a booth and they share that, like, Carter was just, he felt so guilty. He couldn't get over it. He's just so hurt by, like, what had happened. Mm-hmm. And he felt shame because he thought that Elizabeth blamed him. And Elizabeth had this opportunity to share that she never blamed him. Like, she actually was blaming herself the entire time.
Yeah.
Carter asks for Elizabeth's forgiveness. And it's here when we have that quote that he says. He says, "What right did I have to be happy when I stole someone else's?" We then learn how Madeline and Elizabeth's numbers got switched. And Carter asks if it's okay if they set their guilt down.
Mm-hmm.
At this moment, Madeline comes into the diner. And they all just kind of have a conversation. So Madeline and Carter are talking. They're having a good time. And then Josh and Elizabeth go outside. And we learn that Josh was wrong the entire time.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth was also wrong in understanding, like, why he was upset.
Yeah.
So Josh learns that Elizabeth had feelings for him the entire time. And they finally get on the same page, share a kiss. And then they go to the concert, see Tennille perform, and they live happily ever after, we assume.
Yeah, and that's the movie.
That's it.
Yeah.
A lot of twists and turns.
A lot of twists and turns.
I will say the first time I watched it, I thought that Carter, like, was Josh. I wasn't really paying attention the first time around.
Josh is just following her around, knowing that he has this voicemail.
Okay, and then, okay, I realized it didn't make sense. And then I thought that the voicemail from Madeline was from Josh. Or, like, that's what I assumed. Like, you know, you always guess what's going to happen. I thought that it was going to be a voicemail from Josh being like, "Hey, I miss you." Who wasn't?
I just didn't predict that it was going to come together. Like, I thought that they were just going to deliver the voicemail. But I didn't think that Carter had anything to do with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
All right. So, looking at the first category, plot.
What did you score it?
I gave it 4 candy canes out of 5. Because okay. I thought that the whole flashback thing where you know you're learning more about one night, I kind of enjoyed that. And then I think Elizabeth trying to help this one person that she doesn't even know just created, like, this wholesome and different storyline.
Mm-hmm.
That I really enjoyed. And obviously the twist and the turns were so interesting. You know, towards the end, you're like, the first time I watched it, I was like, no way.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed that. I dock it because some of, like, the things that happen are almost too coincidental that can kind of make it unrealistic. You know, like, yeah, they always hit a wall, but, like, Josh noticing the bag, Halliday's, or Josh seeing the sign, Madeline Hahn in the Holidays. And it was just like, Slide Cunningham, you gotta go talk to Slide. It's like, it's some of those things were a little too coincidental that I had to dock it one. Yeah. But it was good overall.
Yeah, I literally have a note where I say Slide doesn't know the song, thankfully.
Yeah.
I was like, if he knows the song immediately, I'm gonna flip a table.
Yeah. I am glad that he didn't get it. And then what was Tennille Towns doing in that music shop? Like, that was
What? She just knows slide?
Yeah.
And obviously you needed that introduction for them to sneak into her concert.
Yeah. I agree. Well, I scored it 3 candy canes out of 5.
Okay.
I did really like the whole flashback moment. And I liked, you know, the twists and the turns and how we got there. But I also didn't. Like, the flashbacks were so choppy to me. And there were some times where it was like, okay, flashback. And then we have present time for a minute and a half. And then flashback again.
Mm.
And it's like, could we, like, get something a little less, like, jarring?
Mm.
Because I'd literally be like, okay, flashback. We see her for literally 1 second. Okay, flashback again. Like, and then there was a random flashback of Madeline and Carter. I'm like, yeah, we had to know that, like, she was still having feelings for him. But we could tell.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just everything working out. Like, of course, Elizabeth, an investigative journalist, I assume, because she literally went into investigation mode. She literally got the voicemail. And she's, I think it was Josh's mom who mentioned it. She's the only person in the city who would actually, like, try to find the guy.
Yeah.
Because she has experience as an investigative journalist.
Yeah.
Eye roll. Like, yeah, you needed it for the movie to happen. But it's like, come on. Come on. But I do agree. I liked that it gave, like, this wholesome feeling where it's just kind of like, she was like, listen, I really want this man to know this. She actually said whenever she went to the hotel, she looked at the front desk dude and was like, have you ever had a regret so big that you wished for a second chance to make it right?
Yeah.
And, like, you would think that it's, you know, talking about her and Josh, but she was actually talking about, I believe she was talking about Andy. And all of that stuff. So it did create, like, a nice little arc. But it was so obvious. Okay, next category. Main character or characters.
So I said the main characters were Elizabeth and Josh.
Same. I scored them 3 candy canes out of 5 as well.
I scored them 4 candy canes out of 5 as well.
Yeah. I was struggling. This is one of them that I was like, okay, do I want to give it, like, some wild score? But I really enjoyed Elizabeth. I really liked her so much. But then there were, like, some things about her that I was just, like, annoyed with. And she needed to be annoying for the movie, but it, like, it's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, they did the typical Hallmark thing where, like, Josh was like, oh, I heard the conversation. And she was like, all of it? Like, she didn't clarify, like, what he heard.
Yeah.
Or she wasn't like, oh, so, like, you ran away because, like, you didn't want to be in a relationship with me, or you were scared that I had feelings for you. Like,
yeah.
She just accepted it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude. Dude. Realistically, would that happen?
Yeah, I think so. If she's not, if she's not a very upfront confrontational person, then yeah.
That's fair. But it feels very Hallmarky. And I was mad about it. I mean, it is very
Hallmarky, but also you're like confrontation. You like to put it out there. Not everyone's like that.
So. I'm like, just to clarify, I'm big on over communication.
Yeah. Obviously, Elizabeth is not.
Yeah, obviously. And then I liked Josh, and I didn't at the same time.
I think he was cool. He had, like, this cool guy vibe. I just wish he was less of a cool guy. Yeah. I think we've had experience now with these kind of quirky guys that aren't, like, I don't know, like, I wouldn't say he was brooding, but it was, like, he was just, like, this cool guy, and, like, didn't have much beyond that.
He was, like, emotionally detached.
Yeah.
And, like, but you could tell that he wasn't.
Yeah.
But he was trying to play emotionally detached.
Yeah.
And that made me mad.
Yeah.
Because, like, he was so supportive of her. And he was like, listen, I see this voicemail. And I know exactly why you're trying to find this guy.
Yeah.
Like, we have to go find him.
Yeah.
And then he's like, they have this heartfelt moment. And he's like, the holiday market or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, just, like, give into your emotions.
Yeah.
Don't just be, like, so off-putting. I liked him and didn't like him, but I didn't like him and more than I liked him. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I thought that because most of the time you saw them, they were together, and I thought that their rapport together was really good. Like, I thought they worked really well together. So that's kind of why I scored it high, was because after they got over the initial awkwardness, then they were, like, back to being really good friends. And, you know, there was this, like, tension of, like, they like each other. But I didn't feel like it was pushed in that way. I felt that they were, like, just happy to be friends again, though they both wanted more. You know what I mean? So I liked that. And then I really just had to give props to Elizabeth because I thought she was this quirky character, you know. I think she herself could have played into a way more cliche role for Hallmark, where she's almost too serious or too, like you were saying, how he was detached. Mm-hmm. She could have also been detached in her own way. But she was, like, quirky and funny and had these charms about her that were, like, made her more fun to interact with. But then you have it on top of it that she is dealing with this grief.
Mm-hmm.
It made it very relatable. Like, she would have these moments of, like, pure joy, but then the grief sets in.
Yeah.
And I think that's very relatable for people, especially during that time of year. I really gave a lot of props to her. I would say that where I dock it was Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me sad because I think that there's another movie with that same actor. Mm-hmm. And he kind of plays a similar role, but it was better. Like, you got to see more of personality and more depth. And it just didn't translate as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say I docked it mostly because of him.
Yeah.
Okay, next category, aesthetic.
So I gave it, again, 4 candy canes out of 5.
I also gave it 4 candy canes out of 5.
Yeah, I really loved it. Yeah. I felt like I was in the Christmas season in Seattle. Like, I really felt that kind of, like, city, but then there was enough decoration that puts me in the mood, and I just loved Elizabeth's costuming.
Like,
absolutely loved it. The final dress, the green dress that she wore, looked so good.
Yeah. Oh, I loved that one.
Yeah. And
it was just kind of, like, simple. It was like a spaghetti strap kind of satiny slip dress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, midi length, would you say? How long was it?
I would say midi.
Yeah. It was so pretty.
Yeah, so pretty. I loved Madeline's, like, green velvet jumpsuit at the end, and even Tennille Towns, she had a red one.
Yeah.
And I just felt like they really did well dressing the characters.
Oh yeah.
And it was just something I appreciated so much. When they did have Christmas decorations, which I felt like each scene there was a little something Christmassy going on, and it wasn't too much, like, over the top, but it was enough to be like, oh wow, this is, like, pleasing to look at.
Yeah. The arch in Elizabeth's house,
yeah,
that garland, it goes from literally floor to floor. So there's, like, an arched opening from her kitchen to, like, her living room, I think.
Yeah.
And there is the most full beautiful garland from floor to floor, like, you know, down on the floor on one side, goes up around the arch, and then back down to the other side of the floor. It is beautiful. I literally couldn't stop staring at it whenever she was in her kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, there was the Christmas trees at Tennille's Christmas concert.
Mm-hmm.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
I literally loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually want, I think it's during the flashback, Josh's sister, she has this Christmas present sweater.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, white, and then the bow to make the Christmas present is, like, red sequins. And it was so pretty.
Yeah.
But where I docked it, I will say, it felt like, I made this realization kind of early in the movie, it felt like their color scheme for all of the main and supporting characters was red, green, white, blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the background characters were, like, in gray. There were some pops of color.
Yeah.
But for the most part, most people were wearing, like, gray or black.
I would agree, yeah.
And, like, I liked it and didn't. Because it made the main and supporting characters pop, obviously, but, like,
not if you just realistic.
Pay attention to, yeah, to the background people, like, they all look blah.
Maybe that's their goal, is that you don't pay attention to them.
Probably, but little do they know, we have a podcast where we pay attention to them. But for the most part, yeah, I loved the aesthetic.
All right, so overall Christmas cheer, what'd you give it?
I gave it 4 candy canes out of 5.
Okay.
I rated it heavily on, like, the feeling that it gave,
mm-hmm.
because, like, Elizabeth didn't have to go and find Carter.
No, not like, at all.
She could have just been like, oh, well, wrong number, bye. But yeah. She didn't. And she was like, listen, like, I really want to find this guy. And she didn't give up.
Yeah.
And I loved that. Even, like, with everything going on in her personal life, she was, like, setting that down to help somebody else.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's amazing,
mm-hmm.
and very admirable. And then also all of the decorations. Like I mentioned, the color scheme,
mm-hmm.
all Christmas.
Yeah.
And then, like, all the decorations were amazing. It was so Christmassy and so decorated for Christmas that there was even a Christmas tree at the accident scene.
Yeah. Well, because,
I mean, it is Christmas time that the accident happened,
yeah.
but they made sure to let everybody know that it is Christmas time because there was a Christmas tree right next to the, like, the paramedic truck.
Yeah.
It was so Christmassy. I saw that and I was like, good job.
I gave it 3.5 candy canes out of 5.
Okay.
And the biggest thing is, like, what you said, I think this is one of those that just sends a good message all around.
Yeah.
That, again, like you said, Elizabeth didn't have to, and this leads up all the way to December 24th. So pretty much she's working up until a certain amount of time, and on her time off, she is going around the city trying to find this mystery man that she doesn't know at the time because she didn't know it was Carter.
Yeah.
And Madeline, you know, and she doesn't even know these people. And, like, what better message out there than it's to be so selfless and so giving that you set aside your time, your traditions, and your relaxation.
Yeah.
For people that you don't even know because you know it's the right thing and that's what they need.
Yeah.
I love the aesthetic, but I felt like there was times where I just kind of was like, this is, like, a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel, like, I felt the warm, fuzzy feelings, but it wasn't the same thing. Like, I ended the movie and I'm like, okay, going back to my day.
Mm.
You know? And so that's kind of where I docked it.
See, it made me want to, like, have Christmas.
It didn't necessarily make me want that. It made me want it during the movie, I think. But I think when it comes to overall Christmas cheer, I've had movies that, like, made me want Christmas, like, immediately after. Mm. Like, I was like, okay, now let's go do something. That wasn't the case for this one, necessarily, yeah, for me. Supporting characters. What'd you rate them?
So this is actually where my scores were not so great.
Me neither.
Okay, great. I rated them 1.5 candy canes out of 5.
Okay, I did 2.5 candy canes.
Okay.
Out of 5.
So, kind of a difference, but not too much.
Yeah.
I will start by saying I can't stand Madeline.
I can't stand Madeline either.
She was awful. I'm like, Carter, why are you wasting your time? I liked Carter.
I liked Carter.
Especially when he had his conversation with Elizabeth at the end. Where he's like, what right do I have to happiness when I stole somebody else's? I'm like, ouch.
That hit hard. And yeah, let me tell you, Madeline, if she was so hung up on this guy, she should have never gotten into a relationship with another guy.
She's garbage.
Just to fill the void? No, because that's another person's feelings that you're messing with there. And then you get that message and you don't automatically go run to Carter. You've been thinking about him this whole entire freaking time.
Bro, I wrote that in all caps in my notes. Yeah. You're telling me she got a voicemail.
You know what? I'm dropping it down half a candy cane. It's going to 2.
I'm like, I should give it 0. Yeah. She made me so mad. Forget everyone else. She made me mad enough that there are no other supporting characters. No, so you're telling me she got a voicemail from a Carter Bishop. Oh, who, the love of your life is named Carter Bishop. And he's hung up and, like, distraught. And he's staying at the Guildcrest Hotel.
And you didn't go and find him?
No, literally, Elizabeth did so much more than she did.
And she could had have been no, like, feelings.
She could have called the hotel and was like, I got a call from a Cameron Bishop. Like, even if it was Carter, sorry. I got a call from a Carter Bishop. Like, even if it was the wrong Carter Bishop, she makes me so mad. So we learned from Pete that Madeline was trying to get in contact with Carter so badly that she was, like, calling Pete, asking if Pete had heard from Carter and all of this stuff. And so you were wanting to get in contact with him from a Carter Bishop, get in contact with a Carter Bishop, and then a Carter Bishop leaves a voicemail for you and you do nothing.
So Madeline, trash. Carter, impeccable. This angelic guy, you know, the character arc that we didn't even really see, but we got to, like, be a part of, was amazing.
I know. His transformation. Like, we didn't even see it. He made that transformation on his own, but, like, we kind of saw it in the movie.
And the heart of this guy, that he hit black ice and he hit a car, but it hurt him so much. It left him distraught that he had to go and rediscover himself. And take the time to talk to a therapist. That is an emotionally aware man.
Yeah. And then he comes back to the scene, like the same city where that, like, trauma happened for him.
To seek out this woman that he loved because he unfairly, like, left her. He just left everyone in the dust. Yeah. And he's like, I need to go and reconnect.
And he also wanted to see Elizabeth, who was, yes, a victim of because his accident.
He was like, I need to apologize.
He wanted her forgiveness.
Yeah.
He said, I want to ask for your forgiveness. Like, I think he would have even been okay and totally understanding if she was like, no, I hate you.
Yeah.
But he was like, I just really, like, wanted to have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
Oh, he's such a good guy.
And then, unfortunately, with everyone else, I did love Josh's family. Like, don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed them. But if they weren't written into the script, they would be completely... they're, like, kind of completely unnecessary until they made it, like, an actual point that they had to go through. Like, yeah. Josh's sister being being a musician and knowing this stuff and him going to her, you know?
Yeah, the only reason we really even needed her was, yeah, for the little part of the voicemail with the music and the Nutcracker tickets.
That's it. The mom is only tied in because of, like,
the Christmas party.
The Christmas party and the cookies.
And she knows Slide.
And she knows Slide Cunningham. We don't even see Josh's dad.
Bro, yeah. I thought it was just his mom's house, his mom's party. And then he's like, my parents' party. And I said, parents?
She goes, Slide plays golf or plays poker with your dad. Yeah. Where's the dad?
Although it, I did love up. His mom. She had zero significance.
Zero significance. Elizabeth's mom had zero significance. So it's almost like these people were there and they had like lines. And I'm kind of thinking, like, what do you bring to the table except for these like small moments?
Yeah. I will say that they did have like good parts. Like overall, I liked them more than I didn't like them. But uh-huh. they were like insignificant. But like they had good moments. Like I just remember Elizabeth and her mom at the present day gala.
Yeah.
Like, that moment that they shared where she was like, when I knew, oh my gosh, I got chills all of a sudden. Her mom looked at her and was like, I knew when you were coming to work for me that you just needed, like, a soft place to land.
Yeah.
And she was like, and you just needed this, like, to, like, feel safe.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's amazing. And she had no hard feelings when Elizabeth was like, no, I don't want a promotion. Like, yeah. She was like, I understand. And I am happy for you.
Yeah. I would say that whenever they did show up, they did give dynamic to the characters and depth to them. So, kudos to them.
What was your total?
So, it's 17 and a half candy canes.
And mine was 15 and a half candy canes.
So, that gives us an average of 16 and a half candy canes out of 25. But we have the cringe factor. Dun, dun, dun. I gave it 2 icicles out of 5 because there's just too much towards the end to actually, like, I couldn't do the 1.5. Like, I, the 1.5s that I've been giving, I'm like, that's not on the same level.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had Madeline stare off into space after she gets the message from Carter, like, and it's on her for, like, 5 seconds. And then, like, whenever Josh realizes that he was completely wrong the whole time, and then he has that line of, oh my God, in love with you.
And I never proceed to passionately make out.
He goes, I never stopped. And then, like, goes in so hard. And you're like,
ew. I really struggled between 2 icicles and 2.5 icicles. Mm. I think I'm going to land on 2 icicles.
Yeah.
But there is a good bit that I like made me like squint my eyes and I'm like, what the heck? Like, for example, Andrew's memorial picture is literally him from that selfie that they took. So you're telling me that she had 0 other pictures of Andrew? No, literally, they just chopped off Josh and Elizabeth, and it was him from that selfie of that night.
Wait a add the trauma.
I know, literally. And then there was just like other random things, like at the beginning when they had a shooting star that they were wishing on. We saw the shooting star go by, and then they go and make a wish, and then we see a second shooting star. And then Madeline, when she was performing, like, at the first concert, she was approximately 200 yards away from the microphone. And then also the way in which she stopped mid-song when she saw Carter was startling. And then she just jumps right back into it. And she's like, yeah, happy, performing.
Yeah, if I were one of her bandmates, I'd probably be like...
Like, it was so startling. I would have stopped playing. I would have been like, are you okay?
And then we'd have to pick it back up like 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. The worst part. I should give it 2.5 for this. I am. I'm changing my score to 2.5 icicles. Okay. Booth Madeline.
Booth Madeline.
It's a Hallmark movie. All of the characters are white.
All
of them. So when we see Booth Madeline, they start playing the voicemail. And then all of a sudden, we see Madeline from the booth at the market. And she is the only black character. The only black character.
I literally, when I first watched it, I went, oh.
I was like, that's not Madeline. That ain't our Madeline. I was shooketh. I was like, what is going on here?
Like, you couldn't have just gotten
a different, like, white woman. You had to literally go a black woman. Just to be clear, I gave it 2.5 icicles.
And I gave it 2 icicles. For a total of 4.5 icicles, which gives us a total of 12 candy canes out of 25 for Time for Him to Come Home for Christmas.
So, it sounds about right.
It feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Hallmark movies and mysteries tends to be more emotional.
Yeah.
And so I think that it opens itself up for more
cringe. Yeah. I usually like to stay more on the Hallmark Channel side.
Yeah.
For that reason.
So anyways, that is it for this episode. Tune in next week where we follow a woman who just moves back into town and has to give some hard news to her neighbor. But that leads them down a journey to a place that we didn't even expect. This is The Christmas Note.
I'm excited. I've never even heard of this one.
Anyways, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Adriana.
Have a holly jolly day.
Bye.
Sayonara.